take me a minute to get myself organized here. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask, has anyone heard from Elmer? Does anybody know, you know, down there in the Philippines, are they...
We were on real high ground, so they just got some wind.
Oh, man. Okay. Wow. Yeah. Right. Oh, I'm glad they're all right. You see that stuff on the, you see that stuff on the news, and when you know someone there, you wonder, you know. So, but anyways, we're going to look at Luke chapter number 8. I don't. One of the things I envy about Pastor Speroni, he always has those stories at the beginning, you know, his introductions, and unfortunately for me, introductions and closings have always been my worst, so usually I'll just try to get more to the message. If we look at Luke chapter 8, and we're going to look at from verse number 41 to verse number 48, but what we have here is, we'll notice that in verse 41 that Jairus came to Christ because his daughter was sick. And so the Lord began to make his way to Jairus' house, and he got thronged by the mob. And we'll notice this woman that had the issue for 12 years bumps him and all that, and then he continues to make his way over to Jairus' house. One of the things we need to remember is many times when we have these portions of scripture or these short stories in the Bible, this is an actual event that took place. Historically, this took place. Doctrinally, this took place during the time of Christ for a witness to the Jews. Christ had was prophesied he would come and heal and things. So there's a historical application, a doctrinal application, and then for us is the spiritual application that we make from these stories. And so we're going to look at it from that point of view. Let's read first anyways. Beginning in verse number 41, it says, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.' And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace.'" Amen. And so again, we're going to look at this portion of scripture here concerning this woman. For us, the application would be a spiritual application. Now, of course, we go to the Lord for prayer, for healing, and the Lord heals and all that. We, I mean, you only need to come to Wednesday night Bible study to realize that there's people that need healings. We got all kinds of people with afflictions and sicknesses and different things. But again, we're going to look at this woman because many times in the Gospels, when we see sickness and things like that, the spiritual application for us is that it's a picture of sin. Remember a couple weeks ago, Pastor preached on leprosy and how fellow with the leprosy, how leprosy is a picture of sin and how only the Lord can heal that. So we're going to look at this again from that spiritual standpoint of this woman representing a sinner. Amen. This woman representing someone that's lost. This woman that's representing someone that's in a condition where they can't help themselves, where no one else can help. Amen. And the first thing that we want to notice in verse number 46 is that that virtue, amen, virtue is just a power or a quality that affects others. Amen. Like that, we'll talk about the virtue of plants or the virtue of medicine. Amen. That virtue that the Lord had, that quality that he had to have an effect on others, that healing power or that virtue, whether physically as in the case of this woman or spiritually, comes from Christ. Amen. For the soul that's never trusted Christ, for that one that's never put their faith in Christ, there comes a time where when you finally come in touch with him, get in touch with him, he revives you and quickens you and makes you spiritually alive. The Bible tells us over in Ephesians chapter number 2 that we're when we're born, we're spiritually dead. Amen. And we're separated from God. And so that healing power or that saving power comes from Christ, amen, only. That's why it tells us in John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, amen. There's no other way, amen. Jesus Christ is the way. That's why in John 3:16, we all know that verse, that God sent his son, and that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12 says, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. And so that saving power, that healing power, that only comes from Christ. Amen. The picture of someone that is sick in the gospel, amen, it's a picture of how a man lost his purity back in the Garden of Eden. That's why it tells us over there in Titus that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. By the washing, the regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus Christ restored that which he took not away. That's why it tells us in Psalm 23, one of the verses says, he restoreth my soul. Amen. And so Christ, as far as a person that's never trusted Christ, Jesus Christ is the only way. 1 John 5:12 tells us, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Amen. God makes it so clear. He makes it so simple. Amen. Over there in 1 John chapter 5, that's 19 one-syllable words. Amen. Anybody can understand it. God, H-A-I inside used to say that we need to put the cookies where the kids can reach them. Amen. And when it comes to the gospel, God's made it very clear, very plain. Amen. That saving power or that virtue only comes from Christ. Amen. And one of the other things we want to look at in this portion of scripture is in verse 43, where it tells us that this woman had an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living, everything she had, amen, she spent, and neither could be healed of any. And one of the other things we notice about that virtue that Christ has is that he's sufficient for all cases. Amen. There's There's no one, case that is too hard for Christ. Amen. He's sufficient for all. This woman here, her disease, it was like sin. It was wasting her away. It was taking her life from her. She was ceremonially unclean because of what was wrong with her. Couldn't attend church. All those things. Amen. This woman was like an outcast. Amen. And the sinner is pictured here as just being separated from God, amen, being an alien and being an outcast to the promises of God. But Jesus Christ is sufficient for the most desperate cases. In the same chapter number 8, we have the evangelist gives us the story of the maniac of Gadara. I mean, the maniac of Gadara was one of the worst cases that you could come up against. And the Lord Jesus Christ was able to heal him. Amen. The Bible tells us in verse number 26, we have the story of the maniac. But in Mark chapter 5, verse number 5, it tells us that always, he was crying and cutting himself up in the tombs, amen. Said he was always like that. I mean, that maniac of Gadara wasn't just having a bad day, amen, or having a bad week. He was always like that, amen. And after we know the story, you could read it yourself later. After he came to Christ, the Bible says that he was clothed and sitting in his right mind. But again, so there's nothing that's too difficult for the Lord. We come to him for those the cases that we have of physical sickness. And in my own life, I've probably seen 4 or 5 people that were healed completely. Amen. I'm not talking about Pentecostal services or things like that. Just from people praying. Myself, years ago, I kept getting a bad, bad sinus infection, and I was dripping down my throat, and it was like bronchitis-y or whatever. It was nasty. And I remember going to my primary care doctor. My wife was with me, and he looked up my nose, and he said I had a polyp or something like that in my nose. Then they sent me, of course, because it was going in my lungs, I went to a pulmonary, I think they call it, doctor. I told him, and he said, oh, yeah, you got a polyp up here. 2 doctors said I had a polyp up my nose. My wife is my witness. I'm not lying, amen. And so they scheduled me to go see a specialist. And so Wednesday night, we went to church, a Bible study. I said, hey, pray for me. You know, I got this thing going on. I really don't want to have anything cut out of my nose, you know, being a man, you don't want to have to miss work, things like that. It was inconvenient, you know. And so we prayed on Wednesday night. Thursday, I went to that specialist, and God's my witness, my wife is a witness, that doctor could not find nothing up my nose, amen. And 2 doctors said they saw it, the polyp up my nose, amen. And he said, you just got a bad sinus infection. He put me on something strong, and now it's better. And so God heals, amen. And so it's important for us to always pray. I don't care if it's a sniffle or if it's a horrible case of cancer, amen. It's important for us to, as Christians, to have that confidence. We can bring this stuff to God, amen. But again, the spiritual lesson that we have here is this woman pitches that sinner, amen. And there's no one that's unsavable, amen. There's no one. Some of the greatest Christians that we know were some of the worst sinners. I mean, just look at the Apostle Paul. I mean, the Apostle Paul was like a bounty hunter, amen? I mean, he had permission, he had warrants, he was hunting Christians down. I mean, he was separating families, he was putting them in jail. And you get some of them old preachers like Oliver B. Green from down south, the 10 evangelists. I mean, he was 12 years old, and he worked with moonshiners, and his sisters would come in, and they'd kneel at his bed and pray for him to get saved, and he'd laugh at him. And blew cigarette smoke at him. He was 12 years old. He was wicked as hell, you know. Became one of the greatest gospel preachers around. I mean, there's just anybody, we've heard of the Pacific Garden Missions out there in, I think, Chicago. Mel Trotter, the guy that started that, was a horrible, horrible drunk. And if you ever read his testimony, he had money. He was supposed to buy medicine for his daughter, and he went and drank. And his daughter died. And they had a funeral for the daughter, and he took her shoes off out of the coffin to try to sell them so that he could get more liquor and things. I mean, and he sat there. I mean, Billy Sunday got saved there. If any of you are familiar, I know Pastor Speroni knows a SWAT team, Brother Sutek and Brother Bear. Brother Bear got saved. I mean, just people have gotten saved at Pacific Garden Missions. I mean, they have that Unshackled on the radio. That's out of that place. And so the most desperate cases, amen, whether it's a physical sickness or just spiritually, somebody that's in a condition like this maniac of Gadara, always cutting themselves, always crying. I mean, that guy was suffering some serious depression, amen. And even nowadays we hear, I don't know a lot about it, but we hear about young people cutting themselves and stuff like that. We got to realize that there's a spiritual overtone to that, you know, and pray for people, amen. Because Christ is the one that can help, amen. This woman, nothing was going to help her, amen. It was only that power of Christ, amen. What a blessing the song Brother Chris sang. That cross makes a difference, amen. That cross made a difference in my life. I thank God. 25 years, I was lost, wicked. I mean, I lived a horrible life. If most of you knew me before, you'd probably run out of the building like it was on fire, amen. And so I thank God that you can become a new creature, amen. And only God can do that. And so we see that example here, that healing power comes from Christ, amen. It's sufficient for all. And then we see the way this woman came to Christ in verse 44 and 48. Verse 44, it says, she came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And then verse 48, and he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole, amen. And that's the way you come to Christ, amen. It's simply by faith. Faith in what? Faith in what the Bible says about him, amen, and what the Bible says about you. The Bible says that you're a sinner. The Bible says that he's a savior, and you come to him for forgiveness, and it's that simple. And just like this woman here, amen, it says she was healed immediately, amen. Salvation is immediately. If you don't know Christ and you came down, you kneeled down over here, and you said, God, I realize I'm a sinner. I believe what the Bible says, that you died for my sins, and I ask you to forgive me. Immediately, you would be saved, amen. It happened. It's not a gradual process to salvation, amen. You get saved immediately, amen, just like we see here. And so it's faith in what the Bible says, that he's a sinner, that you're a sinner, and he's the Savior. John 3:16 again, whoever believes in him should not perish. But you know what verse I love? John 3:17. John 3:17, you know what it says? God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why he came, amen. God didn't send him to condemn the world. God didn't send him here to just look for somebody he could damn to hell, amen. He came so he could save, amen. That is the purpose that he came, amen. And again, and there's no one that's such a bad case that he wouldn't want to save them. You know, sometimes we'll look at, and I've done it myself. I remember years ago when I first got saved, one of my friends, he was probably a worse sinner than me as far as that goes. And when I remember God telling me, I want you to witness to George, was his name. And it just it blurted out of my mouth. And I said, are you crazy? I said that to God, amen. And I was like, that's George. I mean, the dude is gone, you know. And God said, I want you to witness to him. And I remember talking to him about the Lord. I remember inviting him to a church, and he came, and he just sat there. And they were showing that movie, The Burning Hell. I don't even know if they show that anymore. They got movies now with a lot better effects in them, but that one, you got Bob Jones playing the Pope, and he's got sneakers on, you know, and stuff like that. But the movie works, amen. Especially down in Mexico, they get saved by the hordes when they see that. But he just sat there with his eyes closed, like he was sleeping. And so I was, you know, I said, well, you know what? I did what God wanted me to do. I brought him, and I've tried witnessing to him. When the service got over, the minister gave an invitation without saying a word. That kid, he got up, he walked up to the front, he kneeled down, he trusted Christ, amen. And then I seen him grow a little bit, reading his Bible and trying to do the right thing. And so we can't look at it from our point of view sometimes, you know. Sometimes we'll see somebody and we'll be like, man, look at that guy. He got pierced things in his nose and in his eyebrows and, you know, all the tattoos and that. And we think that that person, but you know what? Christ loves that person just as much as he loves somebody that's clean cut. Amen. And so it's important for us. And we don't know that that person that we think looks like the most undesirable could be the one that gets saved, becomes a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary, and that God will use in a great way, amen. And so it's important for us to realize that it's by faith we come to Christ, and that God sent his son here not to condemn the world, amen, but that the world through him might be saved, amen. So, and then one of the other things we want to notice out of this portion of scripture is that when you get saved, you know, amen, he knows and you know, amen. Look at in verse number 46, verse 46. And Jesus said, somebody had touched me, amen. For I perceive virtue has gone out of me. Jesus Christ knows, amen. There was other people that were bumping into him. The apostles even said, Lord, there's a bunch of people bumping into you. I mean, how can you say somebody touched me? But Christ knew the intentions, amen. Just like us, he knows our intentions. When you come to Christ and your intention is to get saved, he noticed. Is that, amen, and he knows that, and so he knows, and we know, amen, and it tells us over there in, I think, the Gospel of Mark, the same story here, the woman, it says that she felt that the sickness was gone from her, amen, I'm paraphrasing it, but she knew that she was healed, amen, and so you know, and he knows, amen, you sense that forgiveness. I thank God for the day I trusted Christ, and I didn't have a big, you know, I didn't cry, I didn't have, you know, a big, you know, light flashing or running around or anything crazy. I prayed, I trusted him, but there was something that came over me, and I knew, and he knew. And later on, of course, in Romans 8:16, it says the Spirit itself, amen, capital S, that's personified, that's the Holy Ghost, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, little s, that's our spirit, amen, that we are the children of God. And you just know that you know, amen, when you've trusted Christ. You sense that that void has been filled. Every man, woman, boy, or girl is born with a spot inside of them that was designed by God for God. Amen. And nothing else is going to fill it. You can spend all you have in this world trying to fill that void, and you're always going to be met with disappointment. Amen. Because that was something that God designed. That's the thing that, I mean, I've heard it all. Well, if I just meet the right woman and get a wife, I'll be happy. If I just get a better job and make more money, I'll be happy. If this happened, I would just be happy. But you know what? All those things, as much as we enjoy them, as much as maybe they're needed, that is not the thing that's going to complete you. The only thing that's going to satisfy you and fill that void is the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in the Song of Solomon, chapter number 3, I'm going to misquote it because but it says something like this. It says, by night I would lay on my bed and I would seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I'll rise, I'll go about the city and the streets and the broadways, searching for him whom my soul loveth. And that became my testimony after I got saved when I read that. And I remember growing up in Worcester, and, you know, my mom died when I was 8. My grandmother tried raising me. By the time I was 12, I was going to bar rooms and collecting betting slips for bookies and different things. And it just got worse and worse and worse for years of my life. But I remember going about the city, in the streets, in the broadways, trying to find something, him that my soul loveth. And just like the scriptures say, I sought him, but I found him not. Amen. Then it goes on and talks about, but I came to the watchmen and asked them, have you seen him whom my soul loveth? Shortly after that, in Song of Solomon, verse 3, it says that I found him whom my soul loveth, and I held on to him and would not let him go, and brought him to the chamber of my mother, something that, to that effect, amen. And so that emptiness inside, nothing is going to fill it, amen. And we see that. And when you get saved, you know and he knows, just like this woman. This woman touched him, and Jesus Christ said, "Who touched me?" Amen. Somebody touch me. And the apostles were like, "A bunch of people touched you." He said, "No, somebody touched me." Amen. He understood. And she knew that he knew, and he knew that she knew. Amen. And so it's important when you get saved. Amen. And the reason when you get saved that you should know is because you were there. Amen. You got saved. There had to be a certain time where you said, "You know what? I need to pray and ask God to forgive me." I'm not one of them guys that you got to remember the date and the hour and what you were eating for supper that night. If you can, God bless you. Amen. I got saved in September. I don't even know what day it was. Amen. But I know what month it was. I know how many years ago. I was 25. Amen. But I knew because I was there. Amen. And when you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's important, amen, that you know, because you were there, amen. You personally were involved in that, amen. And so anyways, we see that healing power comes from Christ, amen. He's sufficient for the most desperate cases. It's simply by faith. He'll know you're saved, and you will know you're saved, amen. I'm not trying to make fun of my wife or anything, but she had a hard time getting saved. I mean, she'll testify herself. How many times did you pray the prayer? You know, like 25 times, amen. But it just didn't, for some reason, it just never connected with her, with God, until finally one day, thank God, she trusted Christ, and she's been different. It was like being married for 7 years and then getting a different wife after 7 years without getting divorced, amen. And so I didn't have to worry about the Baptist kicking me out, amen. And so it's important that you'll know when that time happens. When you've trusted Christ, you'll know. And I got like 2 minutes, and if you'll give me that, and we'll look at verse number 45. One of the things we notice, and this is important, amen, verse 45, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Amen. And one of the things that we see about this woman is she didn't let the multitude keep her from going to Christ. Amen. And that's an important thing, because maybe in your life, the multitude could be a family. Amen. Keeping you from Christ. Or maybe your coworkers, you're afraid they're going to make fun of you. Or maybe your peers and things like that. Amen. This woman didn't allow the multitude to keep her from Christ. Amen. And it's important for you to know. Because if this woman, this dying woman, waited for the crowd to thin out, she probably never would have got saved, amen. She probably never would have got saved. So it's not something that you should put off. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, the invitation from God is here, where he says today is the day of salvation. He says now is the acceptable time, amen. And it's not something to put off. And so this woman didn't allow the multitude to stop her or the press. Sometimes it's just the pressure of our daily lives, you know. Well, I'm too busy. You know, if I do it, Steve, I want to be committed 100%, and I can't, so I'm going to put it off, you know. And we make all these excuses, amen, we justify and think that they hold weight, but they don't, amen. This woman didn't make any excuses. She made the commitment, amen, and she didn't wait for another time, amen. She didn't say, "Well, you know what, I'm going to wait until next time he passes by and he's by himself, you know, then I'll talk to him, or I'll wait until him next time when, you know, he's on his way to Jairus' house. I don't want to, you know, interrupt the plan or anything. Amen. She made the commitment. Amen. She went to him and she made her way through the crowd. She didn't let anything hinder her. Amen. And if you're here today, I mean, you're gambling with eternity. If you let anything or anybody hinder you from coming to Christ, I mean, you're playing with fire, because none of us know, amen. It's appointed unto man, woman, boy, or girl once to die, amen. And after this, the judgment. And unfortunately, you can go to the graveyard, and there's gravestones of babies all the way up to people maybe over 100, amen, and everybody in between. And it's and on your gravestone, there's that little dash, like mine would say, Mike Rizzuti, 1959 dash whenever. And that little dash is your life, amen. That little dash God has designed for you to get saved during that time, amen. So don't put it off. Don't let it anything or anybody hinder you, amen. Especially if God's dealt with you and you know that this is what you need, amen. And then we see one more thing about this woman, and I'll be done. Verse number 47, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. Look at what it says. She declared unto him before all the people, amen, for what cause she had touched him, amen. And she declared it publicly, amen. And this is important, amen. Our testimonies and the life changes that we have that take place in our lives, all these things declare our salvation. It shows people that we're different, shows people that had something happen to us. Even just you going to church every Sunday, you watch, if you stop going to church, one of your neighbors that you don't even talk to or doesn't even really know you will see that, and someday he'll come up to you and go, oh, you don't go to church anymore? And you're like, that guy didn't, I didn't even know that guy knew I went to church, amen. And so declare it publicly. That's one of the things I love about the church. One of the things I love about Pastor Speroni, I met him in 1988 or 1989 out in Boston, and we used to preach and pass out tracts, and he's always had an evangelistic heart, amen. And I see that reflected here in our church, amen. And so it's so important for us to remember that let people know publicly, amen, what God has done for us. That's what he told the maniac of Gadara. Remember, the maniac of Gadara said, man, he said, I want to go with you now, you know. And Jesus was like, you know what, just go back to your family and your friends and tell them how good God's been to you. And that's all we have to do, amen. And so declare it publicly. But anyways, this woman was healed instantaneously. Salvation is instantaneous, amen. That healing power physically, if you need healing, comes from God. And spiritually, if you're here today and you need healing, it comes from God. We see the evangelist gave us the story here. Jairus and this woman both came to Christ. Different reasons. Jairus was coming to her on behalf of his daughter. This woman was coming for herself. Whatever the case may be, whatever reason you're coming, the important thing is that you come, amen, and you come to him. And don't try to lean onto your own understanding and reason things out. Well, God was good for everybody else, but it's probably not going to help me. You know what? It's the answer, amen. You need Jesus Christ if you don't have him, amen. And if you're saved here today, let's remember, like this woman, amen, declare it publicly. Let's remember that even after we're saved, we're still supposed to seek first the Lord. We're supposed to put him first in our lives. Don't let ourselves get where we're saved, but then we live independent of God. We just do our own thing and, you know, really don't inquire from God what his will for us is and things like that. Let's remember that it's important for us to put him first, to set our affections on him. The Bible tells us, set our affections on him. Remember the Philadelphia church in Revelations. The only thing he had negative to say about them was that they lost their first love. Amen. So if you're saved today, you remember like the song the brother sang this morning, that the cross made a difference in your life. Think about maybe where'd you be if you didn't get saved, and things like that, to keep you with that attitude of gratitude. Amen. And that'll help motivate you anyways. But amen. Well, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do come before you now this morning. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for the admonition and the exhortation that we get from them. We thank